Good evening.
Yeah.
From one and all.
Yeah.
From both of us.
Yeah. Oh, there, clearly, that's Mike Juhas over there. Is
and,
that correct?
Yeah, and Brianne O'Brien is leaving.
Yeah, she's just on her way out.
This is WUSB.
Stony Brook.
And it's about
12 o'clock midnight.
Yeah.
So you tuned to the voice of Long Island.
It's not really straight up, but that's close enough.
Close enough for us.
Yeah.
So how was your week, Mike?
I had a very interesting week. Excuse me. Last Sunday, I was down to the beach, down at the ocean, and...
You claim to have?
I claim to have... No, that was Tuesday.
Oh.
I'm getting to that. No.
Oh, okay.
Sunday. Sunday. Excuse me for a second. Do you have to do that now? Ow, that hurt. Sunday was down at the beach, and guess what washed up?
I haven't the foggiest.
A dead shark.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's not one of these, you know...
The live ones usually don't wash up, do they?
No, they don't. It was, in fact, a dead shark. It wasn't one of those sand sharks that everybody really doesn't really care too much about, because it was a real, honest-to-goodness shark with teeth. But it was only about this big.
Oh, only about this big.
You know, a little bit bigger than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday?
Tuesday, I took the day off from work, and I went down to the beach and saw a real... live shark.
Or at least part of a real live shark.
Or porpoise or dolphin or something like that. But there actually was a fin out in the water there. It was
how far out?
Probably within a football field away. No, much less than that.
Well, let me think about that. Now, this is at Smith Point.
Yeah.
Way past where the waves were? I mean, could you see it easily, or
oh,
you
yeah.
have to strain your eyes to see it?
Oh, you could see it, all right. Everybody saw it. Everybody got out of the water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was seen by a lot of people.
Yeah. It certainly was.
Now, is that a common thing down there?
I really don't know. I've never seen one. I go down there quite a lot.
And you saw two in
two
days.
Yeah, that's true. Well, actually, it's 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. I didn't see any sharks this week.
So that's what I did this week. I did a traditional folk program on Monday afternoon, evening.
Which is it?
Evening. Yeah.
How did that go?
I thought it went just swell.
Yeah.
And, Thursday night, well, last night I had my show, and Paul Kaplan was up at the studio. There's a picture of him up on the wall there.
Hmm.
Right underneath Charlie Daniels.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah.
I saw a really good film last night.
Don't tell me.
Yeah.
It was?
A really good film.
Tell us all about it.
It was Well, it was playing at the New Community Cinema. It's called the Atomic Cafe, and we've been talking about it all week long here on USB. It's the film is made up of nothing but films from the 50s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. Army films, public documentaries. I don't know what other sources they had, but they were all real films. There was nothing anti-nuclear in there. It was all pro-nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
But it was presented in such a way as to be one of the strongest anti-nuclear statements
who
you could possibly see. I don't have... Well, we have the soundtrack, so...
We do?
Yeah, it's around here somewhere. We could look it up and then find out exactly who's... In fact, we could even play some things for it.
Ooh.
From it, I mean.
Yeah.
But I think it was really interesting the way that they focused on life in the 50s and 40s. And, well, it showed the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the reactions of people to it. It was really surprising the way, how lightly people took it. The person who was in one of the airplanes said it was one of the greatest feelings he ever had to release that bomb. There were shots of a radio program, or actually could just hear the radio program, where someone was doing a monologue, sort of Johnny Carson-ish, I guess, and having jokes about Hiroshima, you know, saying it looked like Yankee Stadium after a doubleheader and all that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
It painted a picture of the early years and made people of that era look very, very dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And stupid and narrow-minded.
When was the film released?
1982.
Oh, so it's brand new.
Brand new film. But that's one thing about the Atomic Cafe that I noticed, that the people of that era, and I've noticed it in other films too, that deal with the past, it just seems so different from today.
Mm-hmm.
People seem really dumb and one-tracked and all that, and I'm wondering if it's an accurate picture, and if we will be looked at in the same way in 20 years. What do you think?
Of course.
Will we look at like that?
Sure.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know, we seem a lot more diverse and interesting now.
Well, I guess it's all the way how you paint the picture.
Probably. So, let me look for that right now, some stuff in that film.
Oh, okay, so you're just going to walk out of the studio here and leave me here to babble along. Well, we've got all sorts of stuff planned for you tonight. Don't ask me what, but we do have another, of course, exciting adventure in the Tripod Family saga coming up. I have a minor surprise, I think, for Eric. I left it out in my car. I'll have to go run out and get it, but something interesting. And all sorts of neat things. Perhaps we can even pull out an old Bunky and Spunky or something like that.
Yay!
And we should introduce ourselves at this point. I'm Mike Uhas, and that's Eric Corley going through the records. I'm looking for the soundtrack of the motion picture, The Atomic Cafe, which you just can't seem to find. Yes, two more little sections to go through, and of course, when he finds it, that will be the last section he will look at. Doesn't that make sense? I was down at the beach on Tuesday. I met this fellow down there and started talking with him. I said, this was before that we had seen the shark. I said to him, this past Sunday, I saw a dead shark down here washed up. He says, that's how I like them. He says, you know, it's true that most, 90% of all shark attacks occur within 100 feet of shore. And I thought about it, and I said, yeah, well, that only tends to make sense. What kind of dummy's swimming out that much further? Yes. This weekend also marks a very important social event here at the radio station. Our general manager is going to be tying the knot. So we all bid the general manager good luck and good wishes. And Eric just can't seem to find it.
I don't know where it is. Maybe it's supposed to be here. I don't know why it's not here.
Maybe it's down in the office or something.
Oh, I hope not. I mean, it has been here for the last few days. So if you've been listening to the soundtrack, I don't know where it went.
Oh.
But I'm going to search the studios until I find it.
Mm-hmm.
Good songs on that record there. All these old songs. Well, wait a second. We can hear a little bit of it.
Hold on.
We have a promo for the film
right
here.
Yes.
Barry Reagan made this up. Here it is.
Atomic power! Atomic power! mighty hand of God.
New Community Cinema, 423 Park Avenue in Huntington, is proud to present the acclaimed documentary The Atomic Cafe, now through Sunday, August 8th. The New Community Cinema, 423-7619.
Yeah, and it'll be playing there on Saturday and Sunday. So by all means, check it out if you... It's really worth it. I got a lot out of that film and raised a lot of interesting questions. I think you should see it too, Mike.
Maybe if I had half a chance, I would.
Yeah.
But tomorrow night, I think I'm going to a traditional folk music concert out in the Southold way.
Yeah, you want to tell us about that? Is it open to the public?
Oh, yeah. It's Skip Gorman. He's going to be playing some old-time fiddle and... cowboy tunes at the it's sponsored by the Long Island Traditional Music Association. It's at the Southold First Universalist Unitarian Fellowship Church or whatever it's called. And if you'd like info, I think the number is 765-1837. It's at 7:30 tomorrow night.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Sounds
you'll like
always
check that out.
Yeah, it sounds.
Well,
like
I've seen the film already. Otherwise, I'd go out and see Atomic Cafe again.
Yeah.
Maybe I should see it again.
Or you can go to a folk music concert. I was at a folk music concert tonight, in fact, even before I came here.
Were you? Was that why you were so late?
That's why I was so late. I was downtown in Fort Jeff. They were Jeff Warner and Jeff Davis. In fact, I picked up a couple of their albums, which we'll probably end up getting into. And they were playing for free, and that's the best kind.
Yeah, it is. Where are they playing? In the streets?
No, behind an old barn
down
right by the Village Hall in Fort Jeff.
How about that? Well, here we are in the middle of August. Well, not really the middle of August, but we're definitely
into it.
It's
almost the middle of August, and this is really getting me mad how fast the summer's gone past.
Really? I mean, school starts here at Stony Brook this month, at the end of the month. I think August 30th it starts.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't even wait for Labor Day anymore.
No, they don't, but well, there's a whole big calendar scandal here, as usual. Every 2 years or so we go through that. But yes, it has gone very, very fast. It seems like Independence Day is barely over.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing our Independence Day show not too long ago. And
I remember doing the arts and crafts thing down in Port Jeff.
I don't remember that for some reason.
Because you were at the Clash.
Oh, that's right. I was down in, where was I?
Jersey.
New Jersey, yes, Asbury Park. But yeah, that's why I don't remember that, because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well, August is here. Before we know it, it's going to be fall. Leaves will be falling from the trees.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Winter will be coming.
I should be taking days off from work and going to the beach every day.
Yeah. Why don't you go someplace else, though?
Like where?
Well, I mean, you always go to the beach, right? I mean, there's got to be more to summertime than the beach. And you know how I know that? I'll tell you, because the majority of people don't live near the shore.
That's true.
A lot of people live in the middle of the country. They never get to go to the beach, yet they experience summer. They seem to think summer is an okay time of year, so what do they do?
Well,
look into that.
Let's
look
call
into
up
that.
Some folks in Kansas later on and find out.
All right, that sounds like a worthwhile pursuit, but I think you should check out some other things. I mean, going to the beach is fine, but when you say you're going to take days off from work just to go to the beach, it seems like you're wasting something. Why don't you take a day off and go into the city? Why don't you take a day off and go up onto Bald Hill and look around Long Island? Why don't you take a day off and go out to the East End and just hang out? Why don't you take a day off and go to a library?
I don't have to take a day off to go to a library.
Well, you know, that's something different.
Or go to Bald Hill, or go to the East End.
Why don't you take a day off and go to a supermarket, huh? So really experience it, you know?
Just experience.
No hurry, no rush. Spend the whole day there. Just watch
the
people come and go.
Comes and go, yes.
Did you ever do that? Did you ever go into a supermarket and look around and just watch everybody frantically moving through the aisles?
At 10 o'clock in the morning, all the retired people come in and shop.
Yeah, it's a different crowd. Different crowd in the morning, different crowd in the evening, and late at night you get the loonies.
Mm-hmm.
The real loonies come in 3 o'clock in the morning. You have to go to a 24-hour one, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Supermarkets are... I mean, American life goes in and out the doors of supermarkets. So that's what I think you should do on a day off, just spend it at a supermarket.
And usually...
And they're air-conditioned, too.
That's right. They have the air conditioning on.
Sure.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, they're very comfortable. There's really no excuse. And there are so many different things you can look at. You can examine all the products. You can read this. Oh, you can read so much. Talk about libraries. Really.
That's true.
And lots of supermarkets have libraries now, too.
Really?
Yeah, these...
Book stands?
Paperback books. Romances, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to read books in supermarkets sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
What a boring life you lead. Hey, I'd rather be on the beach playing backgammon.
I didn't say I did it every day. But no matter what you do, my theory is if you do the same thing every day, no matter how exciting it is, it's going to get boring sooner or later. What do you have to say about that?
Well, that may bear some revival. I mean, some credence.
Oh, my goodness. You should be shot for that one.
Yes, I should. Especially since I repeated it.
Did you?
From somebody else mentioned it this evening. Oh, it was you. That's right.
Then you will be shot.
What's this you have queued up here?
That's something interesting. This is better.
Now Georgie is a pothead, an addict tried and true. He wakes up every morning and he smokes a joint or two. People in his office just think he's super calm. But Georgie knows to roll a straight when he's really super bomb. He always drives his car forward, he never looks behind. And he always tries to keep his thoughts always positive and kind. But Georgie does a job, you know, that a lot of people can't. You see, Georgie is the head of a nuclear power plant. Georgie, don't you blow up Wading River, Rocky Point, Middle Island, too. And try to keep those radioactive particles away from Manhattan, too. Oh, Georgie, I have a friend in South Pole. And, George, I have a friend in Brooklyn, too. So, Georgie, try to keep your act together, or we'll all be in the stratosphere of you. Now, one day, Georgie smoked a J that was stronger than he knew. It took him out into the strat. It made his face turn blue. And when he went to find the switch, it turned the reactor down. Georgie couldn't seem to keep his feet down on the ground. Georgie, don't you blow up Wading River, Rocky Point, Middle Island, too. And try to keep those radioactive particles away from Manhattan, too. Oh, Georgie, I have a friend in Montauk. And, George, I have a friend in Queens, too. So, Georgie, try to keep your act together, or we'll all be in the stratosphere. All be in the stratosphere. All be in the stratosphere with you.
Thank you. madam, could you give me some frost to put in my pot, y'all? Come say Jack Sprat in a the pot. Him wife couldn't get no lean. Hey, come say Jack Sprat in a the pot. Him wife couldn't get no lean. Hey, because he come on the scene in a full suit of green. Come on the scene in a full suit of green. The people never say that a high man clean. The people never say that a high man clean. She give me some tea and it hurt me belly. Give me some tea and it hurt me belly. She give me some food and it put me in a the mood. She give me some food and it put me in a the mood. I mean, say Jack Sprat in a the pot. Him wife couldn't get no lean. Hey, come and say Jack Sprat in a the pot. Him wife couldn't get no lean. Hey, me say we take a little walk on the 18th floor. Take a little walk on the 18th floor. We never have no bed, we have to sleep on the floor. We never have no bed, we have to sleep on the floor. A little after that, it's when she started to soar. A little after that, it's when she started to soar. I said the neighbor, them a knock down the door, right? I said the neighbor, them a knock down the door. Hey, Jack, Sprat, in a the pot. His wife couldn't get no lean. Come and say Jack, Sprat. Inna the pot, the wife couldn't get no lean. Come and say Jack Sprat, say inna the pot, the wife couldn't get no lean. Come if you come up in me door, say you must be a man. Come up in me door, say you must be a man. Hey, give me three Sprat, me put inna the pot. I give me this a Sprat, I make me put inna the pot, Madam Jack. Say inna the pot, the wife couldn't get no lean. Hey, come say Jack Sprat. Say inna the pot, the wife couldn't get no lean. Madama, me say she give me some tea and it hot me belly. She give me some tea and it hot me belly. The people them a say that a hungry belly. People them a say that a hungry belly, but the Jack. Inna the pot, the wife couldn't get no lean. Hey, come and say Jack Sprat. Inna the pot, the wife couldn't get no lean. Madama, come and say Jack Sprat. Inna the pot, the wife couldn't get no lean. I tell them, dong 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 dong.
And now, folks, the moment you've been waiting for, brand new album from Mr. Scott Baio. Was it Baio? Oh, who cares?
You say that you want to, and then you change your mind. You pull me on over, and then you push me back in line. You make me mad, yeah, you're so bad. Is there any way to know what it takes to get to you before you have to go? So tell me, what am I supposed to do? I will not beg or borrow. What am I supposed to do to make you see that I'm giving it all to you? You show me your good side, then you turn around, act so tough. If you won't let your heart decide, then who on earth can you trust? You make me mad, yeah, you're so bad. Is there any way to know what it takes to get? You show me your good side.
So he wants to know what he's supposed to do. Well, I got some suggestions. Mr. Scott Baio there. Yeah, okay. You might know him from one of the greatest shows of all times, Happy Days. Yeah. Okay, he's putting out records now. Beautiful. It's on RCA Records, folks. Just that you might want to write that one down. What am I supposed to do? Scott Baio. Let's see if the album has a name. Nope, it has no name whatsoever. And okay, enough said about that. We heard from Rockpile with If Sugar Was As Sweet As You, Honey, and from Lou Stevens, Up On Top, with the Ballad of Georgie. Please don't blow up Wading River or anything else. 29 minutes after 12 o'clock, and this is the voice of Long Island. And I guess we got an irate phone call or two from people who shop at supermarkets late at night. And, well, I guess we have to apologize. So, Mike, why don't you apologize?
Yes, we apologize.
Okay. Now, not all people who go to supermarkets late at night are weird. Most of them are weird.
But not the one who called us. Although, we didn't speak to that caller.
No, we didn't. So we don't know if they were weird or not. But, you know, I mean, being weird isn't necessarily negative.
And if that person actually went into the supermarket, that person probably isn't listening to us right now.
Unless, you know, when you go into a supermarket late at night, sometimes they have radio stations blaring very loud. I wonder if that's ever happened.
Hmm.
Do you think there's a supermarket somewhere where our voices are cascading through the aisles?
Well, if there is, they should call us up and let us know.
Yeah, go to the payphone. There's usually one in the front of the supermarket. And throw in a dime or two and give us a call, 246-7901. That's our phone number. You'll get us. Mike, you missed the album. You missed a song from a Scott Baio album.
Oh, gosh.
You missed it. I mean, I'm not going to play it again. No one else is ever going to play it.
Well, see what I found when I was down in the office?
What did you find? You found Sly Dunbar.
Yeah.
Wow.
A whole Sly Dunbar album.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
I didn't think there was such a thing.
I could find no Atomic Cafe.
Well, that's too bad. And, of course, Robbie Shakespeare is on this album, too.
Someplace.
Yeah. Let's see if anyone else. Tyrone Downey, Kendall Stubbs, and Sly Dunbar again. Dean Fraser.
Oh, yeah, we have an album by him.
Delroy Wilson.
The Black Horn Man.
Yeah, this was recorded at Channel 1 Studio in Kingston, Jamaica. We'll listen to this a little later on. It's very good on Mongo Records. Sly Dunbar, Sligoville, it's called.
It's an interesting, catchy title, don't you think?
I think so. Really. So, Mike, I won't be here next week, as you know by now.
What?
I told you that 3 times.
When?
You don't listen to me, do you? I told you I'm going down to Virginia next week. Didn't I tell you that?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I told you that. I'm doing something for the first time. Well, you know what it is, right?
Flying on an aeroplane.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you've, especially in the last few months, you've been traveling all over the place, it seems. Going to Providence, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, Rochester, all the great places in
Boston.
The world, Boston, by airplane. And maybe you can just sort of...
Philadelphia.
Relieve me a little bit, because I'm kind of apprehensive right now. I mean, it's a short flight, only, you know, a few miles. But,
well, I think, kind of, you know, it's
nothing to it, right?
So somebody once said that flying is the safest method of travel.
And who said that?
I don't know. Somebody said that. A friend of mine once said
There's always somebody who says something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true or not.
Maybe so. But still, I like to be in a position where I have some control over my destiny, you know?
Yeah, you always say that, don't you?
I do, and I like to, you know?
Yeah. So you leave the driving to yourself, so knowing you, you'll probably run up to the pilots and say, let me drive this plane.
Yeah, well, at least
you want
to
be in control. So.
Something like that, anyway.
Yeah.
But, it's going to be pretty rough, because I'll be going next Tuesday, and, you know, it's really amazing how fares have gone down.
Certain ones, yeah.
I mean, I'm going on a plane for $19.
You are?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's like, it's half the price of a train. Half the price of a bus, too.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't understand it. I mean, how can they afford to do that?
They just pack them all in there, just like sardines.
Yeah, that should be fun. Well, I'll let you know how it went 2 weeks from now, but I'm going to be getting worse and worse as the day progresses.
Yeah?
The days progress, rather.
Nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about. Yeah, it's easy
you,
for you to
You
say.
Know your way around all the airports anyway.
Not that one. I'm going to another state.
But were you going to Newark Airport?
Yeah, Newark.
Yeah.
I've never actually been inside the airport, so I don't know what it's like.
But you know how to handle airport people, at least.
Yeah, I can pretty much handle them,
Are you going to park your car over there?
No, I don't think I'll do that.
How are you getting there?
I don't know. I'll figure that out, but I'm not going to park my car in an airport for a week.
Why don't you take one of the helicopters over?
Yeah, why not? Make it a doubleheader. sounds interesting, but...
Are you going to be in a big jet, or are you going to be in one of these...
I don't know. I have no idea what this is going to be like. Someone even told me that you don't even pay them anything until you get on the plane.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yes.
It's like a train. They take tickets from you when you're flying. Now, the obvious question is, what happens if you don't have the money?
They put you off.
Uh-huh.
High over Lake Michigan.
That's the inevitable answer. What should I look for when I'm up in the sky? And how high up will I be?
Well, where exactly are you going? West Virginia? You're going to Balto, right?
I'm going to Washington, actually.
Oh. Washington.
Yeah.
Oh, well, actually, you won't... How long is the flight, anyway?
That's another question. I think it's like about half an hour, maybe 40 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Which I can't get through my head getting down there that fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be up so high, I imagine they fly over the ocean.
Maybe not.
I've got it all planned out. I want to sit by a window facing west so I can see the sunset and also parts of land that we go by, unless it's raining.
Yeah.
In which case, I don't know if I want to go up at all.
Wait a minute.
It's a thunderstorm.
You'll be flying over the clouds anyway.
Oh. I won't see anything.
You'll see the sun.
That's true. This is a strange concept. I don't know.
The first time I had ever ridden in a commercial airliner, it was a rainy day.
Yeah.
And I considered myself privileged because I was one of those few people that actually saw the sun that particular day.
How far can you see when you're up that high?
I don't know.
You can't see Europe, can you?
No.
Okay. I've got to get all these misconceptions out of my head now, so I won't act like a fool when the occasion actually occurs.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see if you can get a seat on the right-hand side so you can see some terrain there.
Yeah.
But the left-hand side would be pretty good to see the ocean. Perhaps you will, in fact, see the ocean.
Well, I could keep running back and forth from side to side.
That's what you think.
Well,
you're going to be strapped in your seat the whole time.
The whole time?
Well, what's the sense in taking off a seatbelt if you're going to be dropping down into the ground and, if you're going to be landing in half
I don't like the way you phrase that. Could you please,
If you're going to be landing in half an hour.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right, enough talk about airplanes. We've covered just about all we can cover.
No, but it's an interesting experience.
I'm sure it's going
to
be.
I used to take trains all over the country. I still do love riding trains. That's my favorite mode of travel.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting into flying around. I'm getting a kick out of that. It's convenient, you know.
How many planes have you been on in the last few months?
A few.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, I don't want to develop a habit of taking airplanes all over the place because I don't like traveling that fast. I want to see what I'm going through.
You'd rather see America at sea level, huh?
Yeah.
That's what Amtrak
is. At land
does.
Level, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I want to see it the way it is.
Yeah.
When you fly from place to place, you completely forget about what's in between, say, New York and Los Angeles. It's just, you know, a couple of hours, that's what you think, but you don't see anything of the people. You don't see anything good or bad or...
That's true. When I took a train from, I guess it was from... Chicago? No, I guess it was from Los Angeles to Chicago. I met all sorts of neat people. I met a farmer from Kansas. I had dinner with him. I met some very, very interesting people on that train.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Should I get to know everybody on the plane? I guess that's expected of me.
How can that be if you're only going to be on the plane for half an hour?
Well, I have to hurry.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I don't know how big the plane is.
When I went up to Providence, it was only an 8-seater Cessna.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you know what it's like when I get back. Maybe I'll even call next week from wherever I am.
Oh, yeah, you better. Because when I go away at the end of August, I'm going to call you.
You're going away at the end of August?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Where are you going?
I'm going down to Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, huh? For how long?
For a weekend.
I see. Okay, well, let me know about that when... time approaches.
Yeah, that's, I'm thinking of going down for the Philadelphia Folk Festival.
Uh-huh. Philadelphia Folk Festival. Maybe I'll check that out, too.
Yeah.
But this is something we should both check out.
Fought and killed so many of them, then her arm was cut off.
Well, where was your mother?
At home. They said the house was full of blood. She said John Billy kept on fighting until her arm was cut off.
Who said?
Some people. I ran into the field and a man said, come this way. And he carried me. We hid in the sugar cane. Then he put me on a train and I came here.
The Taj Express.
Yes, the Taj Express.
The Taj Express album is right in there. In that tape.
Is it?
Yeah, that first one right there. Yeah. Why don't we sample it?
Oh, I don't think we should do that.
Oh, okay.
No, that'll be on next, on August 4th? No, the 4th is already passed, isn't it? Today's what, the 6th?
Today is the 6th.
So the next Taj Express will be on next Wednesday.
Today's the 7th already.
6:30 p.m. it'll be on, so, yeah, tune in to the Taj Express.
It is the 7th, right? Yeah.
Well, it's Saturday. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the 7th. Oh, incidentally, we haven't mentioned this at all, because actually we have quite a few questions that we're going to be pursuing later on.
But yes, we should allow listeners to call up with questions.
Now, questions? What kind of questions are asking? Okay, well, what kind of questions can we give examples of? What did we find out last week? We found out what a metric ton is equivalent to?
Yes.
See, we're convinced that if we try hard enough, we can find out the answer to virtually any question.
Mm-hmm. And we found out how much it costs to get over the Verrazano Narrows Bridge in a bus loaded with 43 passengers westbound.
Two axles?
Yeah, two axles.
Yeah, we found out the speed limit of Brazil. We found out the official language of Chad.
And you know who cashed in on that?
Who?
Breanne O'Brien cashed in on those questions tonight. She made them the questions for some ticket giveaways she was doing.
What questions were those that she used?
She used the Chad and the Brazil thing.
Oh, did she? No wonder she asked me what the speed limit of Brazil was. It is 50, incidentally. Well, we have a new album by Joe Jackson here.
Ooh!
And it looks like a Frank Sinatra album. I can't understand this. It's all glossy. It opens up. And the printing is just so elegant and... It doesn't look like Joe Jackson at all.
It looks like
the last album didn't look like Joe Jackson either.
It looks like a 1940s type.
Certainly does. It definitely looks like a Frank Sinatra. Except the design is the same person.
Except for that UPC symbol down on the bottom there.
Even Frank Sinatra albums have those things now. I don't know what it sounds like. I haven't listened to it yet.
Whose album is that inside pictured on the... See that big mess of stuff there?
There's a... picture in here of an album? Marvin
Gaye. Marvin
Gaye. Marvin
yeah.
Gaye Super Hits.
Yeah.
There's a picture of Joe Jackson with that album.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of other things, too. We'll have to examine this picture a little later on. But yeah, there
not
are
on the air, though.
Not on the air, no. We're going to listen to a song that, I guess, typifies this age called TV Age. And I think if we listen to the lyrics, which I've been reading, we'll we'll definitely feel sort of a kinship with them.
Well, you should give us a call at 516-246-7901 if you have anything to say.
Do it now. Why wait?
And walking about, there's the second mate, so steady and so stout. What he is thinking of, he doesn't know himself. We wish that he would hurry up and strike, strike the bell.
Strike the bell, second mate, let us go below. Look well to windward, you can see it's going to blow. Look at the glass, you can see that it is fell. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, strike the bell.
Down on the main deck and working on the pumps, There's the starboard watch longing for their bunks. Look out to windward and see a great swell. On the poop deck, the gallant captain stands, looking out to sea with a spyglass in his hands. What he is thinking of, we know very well. He's thinking more of shortening sail than striking the bell.
Strike the bell, second mate, to let us go below. Look well to wind if you can see it's going to blow. Look at the glass, you can see that it is fell. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, so right the bell. Strike the bell, second mate, to let us go below. Look well to wind as you can see it's going to blow. Look at the glass, you can see that it is fell. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, so right the bell.
Yeah. Hey, get down. That's Jeff Warner and Jeff Davis. No, it isn't either. It's Lewis Kill and Jeff Warner, Garrett Warner.
Uh-huh.
And Fudd.
Whoa.
Fudd Benson, that's the guy's name.
And we heard from Joe Jackson, TV Age.
Now, the reason I had you play that, because I went down to my car and I got you a little surprise here.
Uh-oh. 10 minutes to 1 in the morning. What in the world is this? A message in a bottle?
Yeah, I found it on the beach this week.
You found a message, and you haven't taken it out yet?
I took it out.
Oh.
And
there's money in here,
there's
too.
There's money in it, too, yeah.
Pennies, it looks like.
Yeah, why don't you take it out? And there's a dime in there, as well.
It came like this?
It came like that. It had a lid on it. When I threw the lid away.
Now, I'm going to look at this bottle for a second. There's any label on it. It's just like a brown...
It's an old beer bottle, and if you smell inside, it...
smells like nothing.
It smells like beer.
Does it?
It did the other day. Yeah.
Okay, well, I've never taken a message out of a bottle, so forgive me if it takes a little while. Okay, here we go. Should I dump the money out, too?
The only thing I can get...
Oh, it doesn't come out. Yeah. Oh, there goes one.
It's a dime.
Dime got out. Whoops. That's interesting.
Yeah.
What made that noise? A bottle makes that noise? Wow, how do I do this?
I don't know. I don't know what's...
No, wait. I've got to check this out. Holding the bottle here makes feedback?
Now you can't get rid of it. Oh, it's back. It's gone.
This is strange.
Well, remember the time...
One more time. Wow.
Remember the time...
I found a new toy.
Remember the time you came in my show and you started jingling your keys all over the place? And
you think I don't have my keys. But jingling change does it.
You have to turn the bottle upside down.
The bottle has to be upside down. Wow. We'll ask Frank about this one.
Okay, well, read the note.
The note.
Make sure you start it on the right side.
Is that the right side?
I don't know. It says over, I think, on the front side.
Okay. This is a pirate's treasure map. And there's a little map, dotted lines going around the circle. Turn to back. And it says dig over there. P.S. There is money in the bottle. P.S. Again, whoever found the bottle has... what?
I don't know. It looks...
Supper... Spism... S? I don't know what that says.
I don't know either.
Whoever found the bottle has... I can't make out that word.
Could it be superstition or something like
that?
Well,
it looks like it's supposed to be that. Yeah. It looks like it was written by a little kid.
Yeah.
Because they spelled there, T-H-A-I-R, for one thing. Very interesting. Might have some relevance.
Could. It could in these times of woe.
And there could be a treasure there. Where did you find this?
I found it on the beach in Port Jefferson.
And is there an island that looks anything like this? Is it an island with three trees on it?
No. Are they all palm trees?
Look like palm trees.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A bottle that causes feedback.
Okay.
Stop. Interesting.
I wonder if I can get it to start by using my mic over here.
Wow.
We
can all do it.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get the rest
of
the money.
Must be something about the frequency of jingling change against the bottle that does it.
I'm curious to note how they got this money in here and we can't get it out. Boy, they really must have jammed it in there. Look at that.
Maybe they built the bottle around it.
I think they must have stuck the pennies in one at a time. I can't get... I for the life of me, I can't get this penny out.
So this person...
Oh, I got it.
Oh,
got
you
it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. But there's a whole bunch of pennies in there.
There's really something. There's a quarter in there.
Or a ship.
Or a half dollar.
Or Susan B. Anthony.
Well, not so much that.
But that's an interesting surprise. Why don't we play that thing right there?
This thing right here? As long as we're talking about the sea?
Yeah.
Because it's probably not there. I don't know where it is.
It's not queued up. Somebody didn't let it queue up.
Well, that's enough of that. We got a question from Medford.
Medford?
Yeah.
Is it the 1 o'clock question time now?
No, it's not yet, but it's just a question for us to consider since we said that we could answer any question in the world. This person said we should try to answer this question. A train leaves Pennsylvania Station at 4:03 a.m. and travels an average of 85 miles per hour towards Chicago. Okay, at the same time, a bus driving from Miami to Chicago is averaging 45 miles per hour. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take Mary to cross the lake in a boat? Well, we did say we could answer any question, didn't we?
Well, we got to call up Mary and find out.
That's twice in one night we've been zapped by our listeners. Once for saying something nasty about people in supermarkets late at night, and now for saying we can answer. We don't mean everything we say. We don't. We might not even be telling the truth when we introduce ourselves.
That's true, too.
You know, you might not really be Mike Uhas.
And you might not be Eric Corley.
No.
These could be pen names.
Right.
We could have switched for the Tripod family tonight.
Yeah. Wow, the Tripod family. I forgot about them. They're coming up.
Yeah.
Well, now this thing is ready, and here it is.
When I first came to Brookhaven Town, there was no good music to be heard around. Then one day I turned on the dial. There I found music to make me smile. I waited for a legal ID. The DJ said WUSB. They start each day with the rising sun.
Hey, hey, 90.1.
Don't ever finish till after day is done.
Hey, hey, 90.1.
So if you want good music to hear,
hey, hey, 90.1.
There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear.
Hey, hey, 90.1.
So if you like the sounds, do take a look.
Hey, hey, 90.1.
At WUSB Stony Brook.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, done by quite a few people here. Also, another program, sort of a new program we have here on the radio station.
Which is?
Black Cats Jump.
If you listen to music of any kind, you're probably well aware of the black big bands of Duke Ellington and Count Basie. But what about Chick Webb, Jimmy Lunsford, Lucky Millinder, Andy Kirk, Erskine Hawkins, Lionel Hampton, Father Hines, and so many more? I'm Bobby Bryan, and I lived and listened and played during the heart of the big band era, 1934 through 1950. I hope you'll join us when we present The Black Cats Jump, the stories and music of the black bandleaders and musicians who made such a fantastic contribution to America's swing and jazz. On our next program, From Red Bank to the Apple via KC, the Count Basie Story on National Public Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Black Cats Jump comes away every Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Only on 90.1 FM.
Not only.
Well, only at that time in this area.
Okay.
I think, anyway, unless we're making a mistake. USB Long Island weather, currently 19 Celsius. What's that on the Fahrenheit scale, Mike?
Don't tell me.
Okay, but tell us, please.
I'll have to say about 67.
66, very good.
Okay. That was pretty close, huh?
Yeah, well, there isn't any 67 conversion, so that could be 67.
But why don't you flip it into Fahrenheit and see how close I am?
Okay. 67. Very good, Mike. How do you do that?
Just a guess, actually.
I mean, you don't actually calculate that complicated thing in your head, do you?
No, actually, I try to
Memorize?
Correlate, yeah.
Hmm? Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the USB Long Island weather calls for, this is brought to you by USB, clear to partly cloudy
and
skies.
And Stanley
tonight.
Fisher's auto offensive driving school, school
yeah.
as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
It'll be clear to partly cloudy, low 55 to 60. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high 75 to 80. Tomorrow night, increasing cloudiness, low 65 to 70. Outlook for Sunday, variable cloudiness and more humid, high 75 to 80. Yeah. And that is our weather for you, the USB weather. Yeah. Okay. That's that. Okay, we got the Sly Dunbar album here.
Oh, yeah.
Sligoville.
Let's play something from that on WUSB.
Stony Brook.
shot it from a pond, it's like it's a Wallace. Alright. Now Wallace, you know. Yes, it's a wine. I tell you, and I got to you, you know. Look at that. Yes, it's a wine. Tell you, and I got to you, you know. Got to keep me low. My walking and singing. Hey! My walking and singing. Come on, don't want to do your thing. Tell you, and if I hit a Ethiopia. Forward I want, forward I yard, you know. That in your movie, someone gonna drive a lift. You got to keep on rolling and no smoking this. Be baby, hey. Baby, all I got to do is tell you. I'm about to try for this, is that who's it? Come, lick up the challenge. Hey! And that's where your mind is. Big up! Why no tribalist can stand in that judgment, you know? On tribalism, got to run away, is that what you need? Your mother's soul, or call on tribalism.
Yeah. be free.
Thank you.
Mississippi is the island, and the island is commercial free. Keep your dial glued to 90.1 FM, commercial free, all year long.
Say, we normally don't give you all this hype stuff on USB, but do tune in. You might like it. WUSB, Stony Brook.
Thank you.
What you just heard a moment ago was what every DJ dreads. And that's Dread Air. I'm really just about gone tonight. I don't know, it's a combination of many things. You name it, and it's included. In any event, we were just listening to something from Billy Cobham, a new album called... Billy Cobham's Glass Menagerie. The album's called Observations. And... Observations ampersand. New from Billy Cobham. We heard from Oliver Lake. We heard all sorts of neat things. I heard something, a couple of things from Augustus Pablo, and something from the new Sly Dunbar album, to boot. Well, in another couple of minutes, I think we're going to try to see if we can't get a question going, see if we can get an answer to a question posed by a listener. That is, as soon as Eric's finished with what he has to do in the back room. So we'll get back to you in a few minutes. This is The Voice of Long Island. I'm Mike Huhas. It's about 22 after... 1 o'clock. This is 90.1 FM and Billy Cobham.
Hello, this is Jeff Croton. About a year ago, I was privileged enough to do the introductory remarks on the Tripod Family. And I guess I'm kind of pleased and privileged to be in the neighborhood today to do almost the same thing. So, without any further ado, the fantastic adventures of the Tripod Family!
Radio Free Long Island, in proud cooperation with the Brentwood Disposable Tire Iron Facility, proudly presents another episode in the exciting lives of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left our friends at their home in Stony Haven last week, it was revealed that Aunt Angela had laryngitis. And as we look in on Howard and Kathy this week, they're talking...
Come on now, Kathy, it's nothing to get excited about. People get laryngitis all the time.
Yes, I know that, but on top of everything else that's been happening, it's just kind of odd.
Well, that's exactly what I was saying.
Well, I'm starting to believe all that nonsense you were talking about before. You know how all those strange things always happen to our family?
But I keep telling you, there's nothing strange about Aunt Angela having laryngitis. For the last 4 years in a row, she's won the Blue Ball Pennsylvania Screaming Contest, and she almost always can't talk to save her life this time of year.
And that pad she's writing on looks like it'll last till the end of the month.
Sometimes her laryngitis spells last 6 to 8 weeks.
Is that so?
Yeah, she's set some records. But, uh-oh.
What is it, Howard?
Look out back. Charlie's talking to Aunt Angela.
Ooh.
Who knows what he's saying to her?
Yes, he's been acting very strange.
Strange is not the word for it, Kathy. I've seen Charlie in some pretty peculiar moods, but I've never seen him or anybody else quite like this.
What do you suppose they did to him over there in that amalgamated hospital?
I don't know. Something definitely doesn't smell right.
I agree. All this talk about the 21st century, it just doesn't seem like Charlie.
You know what?
What?
I bet that hospital managed to trick Charlie into paying off that bill. You remember from years ago?
Oh, yeah.
When he sued them for malpractice?
Yeah, but do you really think so, Howard?
I don't know.
I mean, it didn't seem as if anything in the world could have persuaded Charlie to pay that bill.
Yes, but we don't know how far the Amalgamated Hospital would go. I have a feeling they're very determined.
Poor Charlie.
Oh, we better get out there before Charlie drives my Aunt Angela up the wall.
Okay, let me just bring this pitcher of lemonade out with us.
Oh, okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it just sort of fits, you know, a hot, muggy day.
Yeah.
Sitting on the patio, having lemonade.
You know, that's what I like about this place. You can do whatever you want in your own backyard.
Yeah. Here, hold the door for me. I'd hate to have to fall down these steps for this pitcher of lemonade.
Oh, don't worry, Kathy, I've got it. You go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you. Here, Aunt Angela. Charlie? I've got some fresh lemonade here.
Yeah, Kathy made it all by herself.
Oh, Howard, are you okay?
Hey, that was a good one, Howard. Just like the old days back in the 20th century.
I never saw you do a cartwheel like that, Howard.
That's very funny, Charlie. Now, enough talk of the 20th century. I'm getting kind of tired of it.
Are you okay?
Yes, yes, I'm fine. What's Aunt Angela writing on her pad?
Let me see.
I've got it. It says, Howard, you're as clumsy as ever. With 3 exclamation points.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Well, I'm glad to be providing some entertainment. Now, can we get off the subject
really
and just...
It's unfortunate that wasn't me, or we wouldn't be having this wonderful lemonade.
I'm glad about that. I hope you still make the same lemonade you made 100 years ago.
Hey, Angela, let me have your glass.
Is there any reason why this lemonade is brown? And so the Tripods, Aunt Angela, and Charlie settle out in the backyard of the Tripods to have some lemonade. You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Aunt Angela say... That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod family, a co-presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Brentwood Disposable Tire Iron Facility. Until next time, this is Don Topeka.
Hi.
That's all you're going to say? You're not even going to explain what this is?
What should I say? That it's 1:33 in the morning?
Sure.
It's the voice of Long Island?
Do you ever have...
We've got music there with some by some person.
Yeah. Here it is here.
Ah. Tony DeGrady. An album called Lunar Eclipse.
Yeah, we're...
Wait a minute. That's not the moon. No, maybe that is the moon. It doesn't look right, though. It's a picture of the moon on the front cover.
We're listening to something from this album. You know, it's strange for me because I have this feeling like I've done this before someplace. Deja vu.
Yeah. Talk about deja vu in the radio. We have done that before.
Really?
Yeah, that's probably how you got that...
Well, I don't know. If for some reason I knew you were going to say it's 1:33 in the morning.
I've been becoming predictable, is that it?
That could... Well, I don't know. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not. I tell you what, can we just lower this?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a little bit too low.
We have lots of questions that we're going to attempt to answer tonight.
Yeah, that's true. We can't claim that we're going to answer every question.
Yeah, that other question before we've passed on. How long will it take Mary to row across the lake if a train's going 85 miles an hour to Chicago or whatever that was?
Yeah. Of course, especially since the caller didn't even reference the lake.
Yeah. No, I mean, if we knew what lake it was, then maybe we could answer that question.
How did they expect us to answer a question like that when they don't even give us complete information?
Please, if you're going to give us a question, give us adequate detail.
Tell us which lake you're thinking about. But don't call us now because we have plenty of questions here to last us the rest of the week.
Well, here's one for you, Mike.
Uh-oh.
And this is interesting. What is the largest number that can be written... using only 3 digits and no other symbols?
3 digits and no other symbols?
What is the largest number that can be written?
Is this a trick question?
I don't know.
Well, I would have to assume 999.
And I would have to tell you that that is not correct. I don't know the answer myself, but the person who asked me the question, I asked that of, and they said that is not right. And I didn't think it was right when I asked it, because it seems too easy.
Yeah.
So
what's the answer?
I don't know the answer. That's what we have to figure out right here and now.
How are we going to figure that out?
Well, we're going to have to...
Who left these questions for you? The program director or something?
Well,
like that?
You know, there's just some interesting tidbits here.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's think about it. Using no other symbols, only 3 digits, how can we write a number so that it can represent more than...
999?
Yeah. How could we write a number that represents more than that using only 3 digits?
It has to be numbers, does it?
Digits. What, is a digit a number?
A digit has to be a number.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
So, okay, we have 3 numbers. I imagine, since we can't use any other symbol, that it depends on how we position the numbers. And since there are only 9 numbers, actually 10 numbers, including 0, that
right.
we can use...
Yeah.
We have to arrange them in some way.
Yeah?
Anything coming into that head of yours?
No.
Well, I just thought of something.
What?
What if you write a 9 and then put another 9 on top of it? Not on top of it, but sort of 45 degrees up. What do you get?
You still have 2 9s.
Yeah, but it's not 99 then. It's 9 to the 9th power.
Aha!
Uh-huh.
Aha! Uh-huh.
What do you think of that? Can you figure that out, Mike? What 9 to the 9th power is?
You have to multiply 9 by itself 9 times, right? Or whatever it comes out to.
How does that work again? 9, it'd be 9 times 9 times...
If I'd have known that, 9 times...
Well, should we come back to this with a calculator?
I don't think we have a calculator large enough to calculate how many times that would be 9th to the 9th power.
Well, we have to find out what number that is, don't we?
But that's not the answer to the question, though, because we're allowed to use 3 digits.
Okay, so let's do it twice. 9 to the 9th to the 9th. We can do that.
Ooh.
That can be done. Wait, math majors, math people out there, can we do that? Can we put 3 9s diagonally like that, 9 to the 9th to the 9th? And is that the largest number we can come up with? Give us a call, let us know. 246-7901.
Yeah.
We'll, by the end of the night, we will have... Not in scientific notation, mind you. I hate scientific notation. We'll have a number for you. A number.
Ah, so that's what all that scribbling was down in the other room that looked like a whole bunch of nines.
Yeah, we had some of our people working on that for a while, but we will have a number.
A 9 to the 9 to the 9th.
Yeah, if that is the correct answer, I believe that is the correct answer. That's the highest number I can think of.
Yeah.
So we'll figure out just what that number is.
Right, okay.
That's one question.
What's the next question?
Next question, either you know it or you don't. I don't, maybe you do. Maybe somebody out there does. What book has its preface in the middle, its appendix at the beginning, and reaches its climax before the plot appears?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
Uh-oh. These questions are getting too difficult.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. I just have no idea why you're coming up with these such hard questions all of a sudden now. Now, the phones are lighting up, and Eric's running out to answer the questions, or to answer the phones. The phones are answering our questions, and perhaps while that person's on the phone, they can tell us exactly what he just said. This is a regular feature of the Voice of Long Island. We try to answer any question you might have. It's kind of like what they do in the newspapers. It's not like a... Well, kind of like a problem line kind of thing, not like an action line where one would actually, you know, see if we can get the landlord to make good on the security or something like that. But this is, in fact, the Voice of Long Island. I'm Mike Uhas. In the other room, there's Eric Corley, and he's talking with one of our listeners, bum, 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 and trying to see if that is, in fact, legal. 9 to the 9 to the 9th. What's the verdict? What was that question all about?
Okay, a couple of things. This person says that the largest number would be 888. Do you know why? An 8 takes up the most space of any number.
That's true, too.
Uh-huh.
If you're looking at a 7-segment display on one's calculator, that we would be inclined to agree.
Yeah, the largest number that can be written. So it's either 9 to the 9th to the 9th or 888, depending on how you...
And not only
question.
That, not only that, because that person has an extra point here, because if you have 9 to the 9 to the 9th, each succeeding 9 has to be smaller as
well, no, not necessarily. I've seen people write it in, say, reports or something when they have a typewriter and they can't make numbers smaller.
Well, they should just go out and buy another ball.
Well, that may be so, but a lot of us can't afford that. So
what, going out for new balls?
Yeah. Now, you write... Diagonally nines, that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
It is. It really is.
Okay.
Our computers do it all the time. Now, this person also had an answer to the question, what book has its preface in the middle, its appendix at the beginning, and reaches its climax before the plot appears?
And what was...
I don't know if this is correct, but they said the Bible.
You know, I had a feeling that was going to be the answer to this question.
Yeah?
I just had a feeling.
Now, I'm not scholarly enough to know, to be able to point out everything, whether these things actually occur. But maybe we can have somebody call us up and tell us if that is the case.
And so that means you're going to have to go running out of the studio to answer the phone again, and you're going to have me babbling
oh,
on.
Oh, but you're good at ad-libbing.
Oh, I am?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Were you listening to what I was just saying before?
No, I wasn't.
How would you know?
Well, I'll listen to it back on the tape later.
Okay.
So what book has its preface in the middle, its appendix at the beginning, and reaches its climax before the plot appears? You tell us. We don't know. Okay, this is something we have to figure out right now.
Okay.
We have to find out the geological locations of the following places. All right?
The geological or geographical?
I'm sorry, the geographical locations.
Okay.
What would the geological locations be? My goodness. Okay, Mike. Where is the Colorado Desert?
It certainly can't be in Colorado.
No, it certainly can't. Now, how would we find something like that out?
Do we have an atlas? You know, how can we even pretend to answer any of our listeners' questions if we don't have any reference books handy?
I don't know. How can we? Let me get that.
Uh-oh. It's the hotline that they're calling up on, too, so... I don't know. It must be an important call. But in any event, I think what we should do is we should run out and buy a whole bunch of books so that we could, The newspapers, they don't just call up people at random trying to find out the answers to people's questions. They look them up in the atlases, right? In the Charles Atlas and stuff like that. I don't know. I really just don't know. 1:42 in the morning, coming up on the show at about 1:55 or so, probably a little later, is the 1:55 news. And right at about 2 o'clock is the 2 o'clock album side. And we always try to pick out an album not commercially played so much, and hopefully not non-commercially played as well. We try to get very, very obscure, very, very eclectic. And, of course, we always suggest accept listener suggestions for the album side. All of our receptionists have gone home for the day, so at this point, Eric is running into the other studio, into the newsroom, answering all the phones, which makes for a smashing program, don't you think? Because here I am, I'm just sitting here. You know, I could be just babbling away, and he could be talking with his girlfriend on the phone, for all I know. Kids these days, but what he doesn't know about flying won't hurt him, I guess. Next week, Eric won't be here. He'll be at a wedding. That's another thing he's never done before. He's never ushered at a wedding. And that's what he'll be doing this week as well. So it's going to be a week of many firsts for Eric Corley. And now the phone rang again just as Eric was walking into the studio. And in his typical nomadic fashion, says, ha, running after the phone again. So, I tell you what, as much as we like talking to you folks, it really makes the show, just makes the show to talk to people. But why don't we just, like, kind of hold off
Mike!
And... What?
Why did somebody
just call up and ask if I had a girlfriend?
Weren't you listening to what I was saying?
No, I wasn't listening. I was on the telephone.
Oh, see, there you go.
Well, I found out some valuable information.
Okay, what was...
First of all, the book is not the Bible.
Oh, no?
Okay, and we don't know what it is yet, but it's not the Bible, so we can just cast that aside.
Okay.
Now, as we were right about one number, about the number, actually, it is 9 to the 9th to the 9th.
Okay.
Which is equivalent to 9 to the 387,420,489th power. Okay.
Now, how do you know that? Do you have that written down somewhere?
Yes, I had it written down by the person who asked us the question in the first place, who got it from a book.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Now, I said that we would have a number for you, a real number.
A phone number?
No, a number. We would write out 9 to the 9 to the 9th. We would tell you what it is, what the number is, without scientific notation.
Okay.
I am a fool.
Uh-huh.
I'm an English major. I don't know anything about numbers, mathematics, equations,
okay, so
that kind of thing.
While you're reading off this
you
number,
know,
I can go answer
no,
that.
No, I'm not going to read off the number, because if we wrote out the number, it would occupy a strip of paper 1,167 miles long. So we can't do that tonight, obviously. That really will happen. That's how long the number... 1,167 miles long will be all the digits on this.
That's 9 to the what?
Oh, God. 9 to the 387,420,489th. That's a big number. It really is.
Yeah, very big. Brain tweezers.
I'll say. Now, how are we going to find out where the Colorado Desert is? Any idea?
Let's see. Could we call an information operator?
I don't think so.
We could find out the national parks in Colorado. We could call them up. But do we have enough money in the budget for a call to Colorado?
Okay,
which probably won't yield us anything anyway.
Okay, we've got 5 places that we have to locate.
Oh.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can knock any off right now.
Okay.
The Colorado Desert, the Florida Mountains, the Missouri Valley, Virginia City, and Delaware Water Gap.
Aha!
Ah.
Delaware Water Gap. That's in Pennsylvania, I know that.
It is.
Yeah.
Right? You want to confirm that?
How can I confirm that?
We'll get on the blower now and...
get on the blower?
And call up information. Find out if there is a Delaware Water Gap and get the telephone number for the town council or something.
Okay. Dialing for operators. Bum, 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 bum.
What a strange name, Delaware Water Gap.
Yeah.
Did you connect?
I don't think so.
Oh, Morbel's looking for us again.
Try again.
Sounds better.
That doesn't...
Ah. Yeah.
Minus Pint, may I help you?
Yes, operator. Could you tell us the area code for Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania?
It's Water Gap?
Delaware Water Gap.
Delaware Water Gap.
Yes.
One moment, please.
Thank you.
Delaware Water Gap, New Jersey.
Oh, is it in New Jersey?
Well, that's the way it's listed here.
Oh,
201, okay. Area code.
201. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Well, she found out without looking for the state, so that means maybe she can find out where Virginia City is, too.
Okay, so why don't you come up here?
Okay.
Sounds good.
Drop it in my...
Oh, knocked the mic.
Does it work?
Okay.
All right, now...
This is only the second time I've ever tried changing microphones on the air.
Are you sure? I think we've done it more than that.
Really?
Okay, so we know where Delaware Water Gap is. That's a success. It's in New Jersey. Okay. Now we have to find out where Virginia City is. We have no idea where it is. Could be anywhere.
Can we try California?
Well, let's just try the operator and ask her.
Say Virginia City, California.
Bum, ba-dum, bum.
Why don't you try that?
Okay.
Such a nice ring.
Good morning, Mr. Fabrizio. May I help you?
Yes, operator. I'm looking for the area code for Virginia City in California. I believe it's in California.
Okay, hold on, please.
Thank you.
And if it's not, we only have 49 other states.
Yeah. Maybe it's in Canada. There's no guarantee this is in the United States.
Or in the world.
In our world. Please, Mr. Operator, find it.
Please, Mr. Fabrizio.
Please. Mr. Fabrizio?
Yeah, we've had him before.
We have?
Yeah.
All right, one moment, please.
Thank you.
You know, I had to call up a bunch of airlines this week.
Yes, can I have an area code for Virginia City, California?
Thank you.
He sought assistance.
Yeah.
That's the name of it.
Right, Virginia City.
Virginia.
Right.
VI. I don't have anything in California, I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any way to find out where it is? I'm pretty sure it's in one of those states.
Where do you think it would be?
Well, I know it's in the west somewhere.
And if it's not, we can...
Yeah, I have no listing at all for Virginia City.
Do you have listings of towns without states?
Yeah, I have it by cities. And I have no Virginia City listed.
Uh-huh. Does that mean it doesn't exist or it might be small?
It could be a very small town.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for your help anyway.
All right.
Bye-bye. Boy, well, Virginia City we know is very small. Okay, we found something out then. So we have four left. Colorado Desert, Florida Mountains, Virginia City, Missouri Valley.
How about Soviet Georgia?
Oh, come on.
Oh, that kind of gives it away, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. We will be having the news coming up shortly, so there will be a brief respite from all of this... constant vulgarity.
Very shortly. Let's do one more question.
Okay.
And then we will either find out the answers to them or, I don't know, do something. We haven't not found out the answer to a question yet, I don't think.
We've just completely ignored the question.
Well, usually we do that.
Yeah.
I'm about to give you a list of five names.
Uh-oh.
Four names belong. One name does not. Are you ready, Mike?
Yeah.
Here is the list. Sigmund Freud. John F. Kennedy. Ayatollah Khomeini.
Ayatollah Khomeini?
Yes. Abraham Lincoln. And Walt Whitman. Five names. Would you like me to repeat them?
Now, you said Sigmund Freud, John Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy, yes.
Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yes.
And who was before Walt Whitman?
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
Forget Abraham Lincoln, my goodness.
Hmm.
And Walt Whitman. Four of those names belong, one does not. Now, John F. Kennedy and Abe Lincoln were presidents. Walt Whitman was not. Yeah. Sigmund Freud certainly wasn't.
And Ayatollah Khomeini certainly.
Well, John F. Kennedy led the country, so did Abe Lincoln. Ayatollah Khomeini leads another country. Sigmund Freud led philosophy of sorts. Walt Whitman led...
Was from Long Island.
Led poets and authors and things like that, so that, that means they all belong. That didn't solve anything.
No, it certainly didn't.
Maybe it has something to do with the way the letters are shaped.
I was thinking of that, too.
Yeah. No, Sigmund, John, Ayatollah, Abe, Walt.
No, I was thinking it was Walt Whitman because he has his first and second name is the both begin with the same letter.
Uh-huh.
So now, do you think that would be the answer? Or?
Well, how would that explain everybody else?
Well, because he wouldn't belong because everybody else has their first and second name starting with something else.
That's pretty general, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it works. But it's probably not what the questioner...
Well, I think it's interesting that John Kennedy and Ayatollah Khomeini have the same first initial of the last name.
Yeah?
There's definitely significance to that. That's where Sigmund Freud fits in, I'm not certain. Now, this probably has some very tiny historical tinge to it.
Either that or it's so bloody obvious we can't see it.
How obvious do you think it could be?
Well, they're all men, so we can't knock any of them out for that.
Are they?
Are
yeah,
they?
Okay. All right, yeah, I see they are.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I think I got it.
Only one of them is alive. Right?
Is that it?
That's what I see. Ayatollah Khomeini is alive, and everybody else isn't. What do you see?
I was thinking it was something else. Only one of them...
That's pretty damn important, if you ask me.
I was thinking only one of them did not have a beard.
John F. Kennedy.
Do you think that might be true?
Walt Whitman had a beard, didn't he?
If he didn't, that certainly sinks my theory.
Look in the shopping center. I'm sure there's a picture of him somewhere.
Go to a bank.
Okay, so we got two possibilities. One is dead, I mean, one is alive, and one is clean-shaven.
Yeah.
Okay, one of those two. Now, the person who gave us those questions now can call us up and tell us if we are right, if we have not gotten it yet. Then we have to do the news and our album side, which we probably still don't know what it is.
Uh-huh.
We have to find out what book has its preface in the middle, its appendix at the beginning, and reaches its climax before the plot appears. If anyone out there knows that, give us a call, and we'll shower you with gratitude if you're right.
The person who gave us all these questions give us all of these questions, or did they come from several sources?
Most of them.
The person
is calling now, so we'll get right to him. Also, if you know where the Colorado Desert, the Florida Mountains, the Virginia City, or Missouri Valley is, call us up too. 246-7901. Area code 516. We'll be back with the news in just a moment.
4 minutes after 2 o'clock, and you are tuned to radio station WUSB,
Stony Brook.
We have somebody who got the answer to one of our questions. Mike, do you care to tell us about it?
Yeah, the question was, which book has, several parts to the question.
Well, I'll give you the question.
Yeah, okay.
What book has its preface in the middle, its appendix at the beginning, and reaches its climax before the plot appears?
And, of course, the answer, as supplied by... What do you think his name was, Roger?
I think it was Roger from Huntington. It's an answer we didn't get, for sure.
The dictionary.
The dictionary, yeah!
Of course.
Now, let's examine this for a second. Now, the preface is in the middle.
Right, because it begins with P.
Right. The appendix is at the beginning.
Begins with an A.
And reaches its climax before the plot appears.
Right.
So C comes before P.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I understand it. You were right about John F. Kennedy being the person standing out from those five names.
Because he was clean-shaven?
Yeah, the names were Sigmund Freud, John F. Kennedy, let's try that over again. Sigmund Freud, John F. Kennedy, Ayatollah Khomeini, Abraham Lincoln, and Walt Whitman. And
it's always good to hear about Ayatollah Khomeini, everyone.
Yeah, now you said the only one that didn't have a beard was John F. Kennedy.
And
I said the only one that's still alive is Ayatollah Khomeini, which I don't see why that isn't relevant.
Well, he does stick out, so I think we should both award ourselves partial credit for that question.
Let's give ourselves a round of applause. Yay!
You have to turn it upside down.
It is upside down. It doesn't work anymore.
Ah, there we go. Yeah, there we go.
Okay, stop.
Stuck.
Interesting. That's it. If you yell into the microphone, it stops.
I wonder if it would work if I jingled my keys.
Do you want to try it?
Yeah.
Do you have your keys with you?
No, they're hanging up on the
Why don't you do that later, then?
Yeah.
We also have some clues. We have four remaining things that we have to find out, and we have some clues as to where they are, so we will be able to find out where they are after we play our album side. We're going to try anyway, so keep on listening.
Yeah.
Right now, though, news time at 7 minutes after 2 o'clock, 19 degrees in Stony Brook, and Commerce Secretary Malcolm Baldridge says it's unfortunate that steelmakers are rejecting a proposed settlement to a dispute over European steel imports. Baldridge says the United States and the European Common Market work together in good faith
to address complaints of unfair European competition in the U.S. market. Air Force Secretary Vern Orr is defending the Lockheed C-5B transport plane as the most cost-effective choice for the military, that despite new estimates showing a $2.1 billion increase in costs caused by more inflation and the purchase of spare parts. The House and Senate are differing over whether the Air Force should buy the C-5B from Lockheed or converted 747 jumbo jets from Boeing. The co-chairmen of a House-Senate conference committee say they hope to work out differences on the military's big-ticket purchases within the next couple of weeks. The conferees met for about 2 hours Friday to reconcile differing versions of a defense authorization bill, but reportedly didn't make any decisions.
Massachusetts could become the next state to restore the death penalty. A state court on Friday approved a voter referendum on the capital punishment amendment to the state constitution. New Jersey Governor Thomas Kane signed a law returning capital punishment to his state Friday. Kane suggested that lethal injections be used as means of execution. Federal investigators have sealed off a fireworks plant near Chesterville, Ohio, following an explosion Friday that is believed to have killed at least three people. The cause is not yet known. The American Bar Association's policymaking House of Delegates begins debate in San Francisco Monday on a proposed revamping of the group's Model Code of Ethics. Criticism of the proposed overhauling centers on what some opponents call an erosion of lawyer-client confidentiality. A California judge gave final approval Friday for $9 million in assets of the People's Temple to be distributed to those with claims against the cult. A U.S. congressman, three journalists, and a temple defector were killed in an airstrip shootout just before 912 cult followers committed suicide in Jonestown, Guyana, in November 1978. You couldn't tell by looking out the window, but officials say the air quality in Los Angeles is getting better. The Air Quality Management District Friday reported a drop in the concentration of airborne pollutants compared with 10 years ago. The report was released on the smoggiest day thus far this year.
Yeah, and the warm weather Cold War with Soviet diplomats over who gets to use whose beaches has frozen up into an impasse, as far as Glen Cove officials are concerned. Mayor Alan Parente and the Glen Cove City Council say the Soviets are using the Soviet ambassador's estate in Glen Cove as a spy center, so the city is not allowing the Russians to use the city's beaches, golf courses, and tennis courts. In retaliation, the Soviets are not permitting U.S. Embassy personnel to use a beach on the Moskva River outside Moscow. Glen Cove Mayor Parente says, "I'm not changing my position based on beach passes because there are, quote, more important issues at stake," unquote. A press official at the Soviet Embassy in Washington, Vladimir Mikoyan, says, "The ball is in their court." U.S. State Department officials warned Glen Cove about reprisals after city council members voted in May to revoke the Soviet recreational permits. The council said the ban is in protest over allegations that the Soviets are conducting spy activities from their United Nations ambassador's residence on a 36-acre estate called Killenworth. The council also objects to the Soviets living on the spacious compound tax-free. U.S. Secretary, U.S. State Department spokeswoman, rather, Susan Pittman, says neither side can benefit from an escalation of mutual restrictions on each other's diplomats. The only member of the seven-member city council to vote against the ban, Donald Derigi, says, "We have no business in this. All we are doing is shouting and harassing the Soviets." Derigi says, "You don't keep a spy from spying by taking away his tennis permit." But some other council members said they were sticking by their guns. Councilwoman Ann Gold says, "This is tit for tat, not retaliation. I don't think this is a serious response." She adds, she is sorry the Russians are hot and without a beach, but this is a moral issue. Councilman Angelo Stenko says the Soviet action has made no difference in his decision. State Department officials plan to meet with Mayor Parente in Washington August 18th to discuss the ban. At that meeting, the mayor plans to present some proposals that may bring an end to the situation. Among them are for the federal government to reimburse Glencoe for police protection provided to the Soviet mission, require the Soviets to pay more for the right to use the recreational facilities, and require the Soviets to pay taxes on the estate. Soviet press officer Mikoyan says, "It's unfortunate that we were forced into this situation. The language of ultimatum is not a language you can speak with the Soviet Union." But he adds, "This is a small issue that's been overblown."
And finally, a look at the USB Long Island weather. Forecast for tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, lows 55 to 60. Tomorrow, partly sunny, highs 75 to 80. Tomorrow night, increasing cloudiness with the lows in the 65 to 70 degree range. And winds light and variable tonight, becoming southeasterly tomorrow. At 10 miles an hour or less. Oh, boy. The outlook for Saturday, variable cloudiness and more humid, high 75 to 80. Right now, there's no advisories or warnings in effect for Long Island Sound, Long Island South Shore Bay areas at this time. And, Eric, if you would be good enough to tell us the temperature in Stony Brook.
Oh, it's 19 degrees. 19 degrees right
well,
now.
Well, where'd you get that "There She Blows" thing?
Oh, that was good. I just got a whaleman in here who was happened to be walking by the building, and I just sort of called him up.
Right while I was reading the winds.
Yeah. 19 degrees.
19 at 66 Fahrenheit. Yeah.
66 on the Fahrenheit scale. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. Oh, we have so much fun. You can't.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can't. You can't say that we don't enjoy.
We enjoy ourselves. That's the rule here.
That's definitely the rule. So anyway, it's time.
What is that?
Time to get a new chair. That's what it is. I just happened to turn in my chair here, and.
Mike, that's downright obscene.
Yeah, I suppose it is. But in any event, it is time for our 2 o'clock album side. It's about a quarter after 2. And
it's 14 minutes after 2, and we haven't even started the album side yet.
That's the area code for Dallas, Texas. Did you know that?
214 is the area code for Dallas, Texas?
Yes, it is.
I didn't know that.
Pretty soon it'll be Philadelphia. And soon after that, it'll be Ohio.
215, 216.
Yeah, part of Ohio, at least.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have 19 degrees Celsius in Stony Brook. Enough with the weather. Let's get rid of all this stuff. Oh, that's our newscast for now. Time for our 2 o'clock album side, and then we're getting back to all kinds of...
I'm really glad you picked this album side. You're absolutely true. I haven't heard this in a long, long time.
That's what I said. I said, hey, this record's sitting here, and I haven't listened to it for a long time. I'm sure lots of other people haven't listened to it in a long time.
How many records are in this set?
Well, let me open up the cover here. Whoops. Hit the microphone with the cover. Why don't I do that? We have two records in there. Two records, yes, two records.
Mm-hmm.
Which means
with four sides. And obviously we can only play one.
Right, because that's our tradition to play one record side.
Yeah.
What year do you think this...
to carry me. At last, it's all too well. I can see where we all soon will be. If you strip away from it, from your mind, you will see where we all soon will be. Jesus! Just started to believe the things that serve you. You really do believe this talk of God is true. And all the good you've done will soon get swept away. You'll become to matter more than the things you say. They'll hurt you when they find they're wrong. I remember when this whole thing began. No talk of God, then we called you a man. And believe me, my admiration for you hasn't died. Every word you say today is twisted round some other way. I'll hurt you if they think you lied. Nazareth, your famous son, should have stayed a great unknown. Like his father, carving wood, he'd have made good. Tables, chairs, and open chests would have suited Jesus best. He'd have called nobody on, no one alive. Jesus, do you care for your race? Don't you see we must keep in our place? We are occupied.
Tell me what's happening. to know why you're obsessed with pricing.
Problem here.
The Roman god.
No, wait. We need a more permanent solution to our problem.
No fighting, no slogan.
One thing I'll say for him, Jesus is cool.
We never fear him to his own devices. His half-witted fans will get out of control.
But how can we stop him? His glamour increases by leaps every minute. He's top of the
world. I see that things are rising. The proud crowning king, which the Romans would ban. I see blood and destruction, our elimination because of one man. Blood and destruction because of one man.
Because of one man.
Our elimination because of one man.
Because of one man.
About this Jesus mania.
How do we deal with a carpenter king?
Where do we start with a man who is bigger than John was when John did his baptism?
Fools, you have no perception. The stakes we are gambling are frighteningly high. We must crush him completely. So like John before him, this Jesus must die. For the sake of the nation, this Jesus must die.
Must die.
This Jesus must die. So like John before him, this Jesus must die.
Must die.
This Jesus must die.
Yeah, as you might have guessed, it's the end of our record side. Side one of JCS, Jesus Christ Superstar.
And next week at about 2 o'clock, we'll hear side
two.
And well, the week after that, we'll hear side four.
Yeah.
No. No, actually, well, though, I think since this is such a topical kind of thing, we could actually get away with playing the entire album over 4 weeks.
Could be.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting to me.
Yeah.
We heard Overture, Heaven on Their Minds, What's the Buzz, Strange Things Mystifying, Everything's All Right, and This Jesus Must Die, and next week, of course, side four is on the flip side of that one, so I can't tell you unless I open this up.
And you won't be here next week.
No, I won't.
You're really banging into that microphone today, aren't you?
Okay, side two, if you play it next week, you'll hear Hosanna, Simon Zealots, and Poor Jerusalem, Pilate's Dream, Pilate's Dream, actually, The Temple, Everything's All Right, again. Okay. I Don't Know How to Love Him, Damned for All Time, and Blood Money.
Can you just go over quickly the cast? Very important people here.
Okay. Let me open up the book. See who's in here. The cast. The singers in the order of their appearance.
Murray Head.
Ian Gillan. Yvonne Elliman, Paul Raven, Victor Brox, Brian Keith, John Gustafson, Barry Denon, Annette Brox, Paul Davies, and Mike Dabo.
Wow. Mike Dabo was in here, too?
Check that out. Yes. And musicians Bruce Rowland, drums, percussion, Alan Pinner, bass guitar, Helen McCulloch, guitars, electric and acoustic, Neil Hubbard, guitar, electric, Peter Robinson, piano, electric piano, organ, positive organ, and Chris Mercer on tenor sax.
Wow.
And a cast of thousands more.
Yeah. No, that's Godspell you're thinking of.
Yeah. So that's that.
Yeah.
Brings back memories for me.
And me and Rich Koch as well.
Yeah, we don't have much time left, so we have to find out the answers to these questions quickly.
Well, Rich Koch called up with the answer to...
Well, we have to confirm these things. I have hints from the person who gave us the question. Okay? Let's do Virginia City first.
Okay.
He said that Virginia City is a gamble to live in, so I would assume it's near Las Vegas. What is the area code for Las Vegas or Nevada?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't know? My goodness, I can't believe it. Oh, boy. I have to call up the friendly operator and find out.
I never called. I don't think I've ever called Nevada in my life.
Okay, fine, fine.
Good morning, Miss Hollister. May I help you?
Yes, we need the area code for Nevada.
Really, one moment.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All of Nevada is 702, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good night.
Bye-bye. Okay, 702. So here we go. We'll call up information in Nevada.
Dialing for Virginia's. On the voice
of Long Island.
He'll be here for another 18 minutes or so.
Here we go.
What city, please?
Is this Nevada?
What city?
Is this Nevada I'm talking to?
Well, you're talking to an operator in the state of Nevada.
All right, close enough. We're looking for Virginia City.
Okay, I have the directory for Virginia City. Who do you want to talk to there?
Well, we're looking for Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli.
Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli in Virginia City?
Yes.
One moment, please.
Thank you.
It's a very noisy connection. I don't think he can hear you too well. I think you actually have to kind of lift that thing up closer to you.
Oh, I like the noise.
But he can't hear you with it, though.
Makes it a more interesting conversation that way.
I suppose we've got a point there.
So I guess Virginia City is in Nevada.
There's nothing listed, sir, under Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli.
Okay.
All right.
Virginia City is in Nevada, then, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Pardon me?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
You know, it sounded like he was going to give us a big story there, but you had to cut him off by saying thank you very much.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I like the way he said, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you bet.
We'll never get him
again.
That's
in California,
sure.
Isn't it?
You bet is in California? I don't know. Maybe it is. Okay, so Virginia City is in Nevada. Delaware Water Gap is in New Jersey. What should we try next? Colorado Desert. I am told Colorado Desert is on the West Coast. The West Coast.
I think this is one for getting the Atlas out at the library this week and finding it out and getting back to the listeners next week.
Well, no, wait a minute. No, we've never done that. We'll just simply ask somebody. What's the area code for Oregon?
503.
That's what I thought. Okay, I'm just going to call them up and see if they have...
But wait a minute.
Colorado Desert out there.
Before you do that,
yeah?
There are no deserts in Oregon.
Well, maybe
I'll... Try Wyoming.
That's not the West Coast. That's the western part of the United States. This person said it's on the West Coast. I know what West Coast means. Oh.
What city, please?
Hi, is this Oregon?
Yes.
We're looking for the location of the Colorado Desert. Is it in Oregon?
Colorado Desert? I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Oh, you never have?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you anyway.
Okay.
Well, we wiped out Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So much for that.
Try California. Oh, but
what
there's
part of
so
California?
So many area codes in California.
What's the biggest one? It encompasses the biggest area.
Is it 415?
That's San Francisco.
Yeah.
Well, let's try it. Okay.
We've try 707.
707. I didn't even heard of that one. 707. Sounds like it would be in California. I mean... You wouldn't have a desert in Washington.
Or Oregon.
Well, I thought it was worth a shot, you know?
Hello, what's city, please?
Yes, we're looking for the location of the Colorado Desert. Would that be in a seven...
Hello, what city, please?
Yes, we're looking for
Hello?
The... Hello?
Can you hear me? What city are you calling, please?
Yes, we're trying to find the location of the Colorado Desert. Is that in...
what state?
In California.
Colorado Desert?
Have you ever heard of it?
I'm not familiar with it, no.
Oh, boy. We're trying to find out where it is.
What, can you give me a community?
No, we can't. We just know it's on the around the West Coast area.
I'm sorry, I can't help you, sir. I don't have anything like that in this area, and I haven't heard of it.
Okay, well, thanks for trying.
Okay.
Well, that's another one.
We have to stop getting those noisy operators because this duplex telephone system just doesn't work out properly.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
West Coast, Colorado Desert. Well, the other clues I have for the other places, Florida Mountains, I am told, is in a desert-type area.
Hmm.
So where is a desert-type area?
Arizona.
Arizona? Do you know the area code for Arizona?
602.
Okay. Let's hope so.
That's only a guess.
Well, all the more fun, then. Who knows where we'll go?
No, I can't shout all the way over to that little...
Okay, so I will talk from now on, so I'm closer to the little box.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Ah! What in the world is that?
Oh, goodness. What a horrible sound that was.
I don't think we should try again. I think it's a guy down at the other end of the hall.
Well, he's going to have to wait his turn. Let's try that one more time. What a horrible sound that was.
It's back.
Okay. Here we go. Hello.
He turned off the line.
No, he didn't. I'm going to try it again. Okay, this is the last time we're going to try this.
Just because you couldn't save him a piece of pizza.
No excuse. Here we go. Stop that. Stop that, Frank. Please stop that. Where are you going to get it?
This is Mike
in City. Hi, is this Arizona?
Yes, what's City?
We're looking for the location of the Florida Mountains. We believe they're in Arizona.
I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of the Florida Mountains?
No.
Oh, boy. How about the Colorado Desert?
I have no idea. Do you know what city this is in?
No, we're just looking for general areas, actually. One last one. How about Missouri Valley?
Just a moment, okay?
Okay. You get the supervisor. Oh, boy.
Position, please.
408.
Thanks. May I help you?
Yeah, hi. We're trying to find out the location of something we believe is in Arizona. It's the Colorado Desert.
Colorado Desert what? Is this the Colorado Desert?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't.
We were also trying to find the Florida Mountains.
I've never heard of that either, so I list directly by cities. I have no way of keeping track of all the state monuments.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, we appreciate you helping us anyway.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that's that. Well, 2:49 in the morning. I don't know what to say. We're going to have to get an atlas or something in this area. Will you answer the question for people next week?
Yes.
When I'm not here?
Yes, I'll...
Will you remember this? Because it's written in my book.
Well, you'll have to write it down for me.
All right.
When you give me that other stuff that you're going to drop off.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay.
So we found out some
answers. I gave this guy some information this week, and I was expecting to get it back the next day. Did I get it back the next day? Oh, no.
Sorry, what can I do about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Forgetful nature. I know what I want to hear about.
This is Jack Lord sounding the alarm to save the whales. Every 19 minutes, a great whale is killed. Leviathans that have flourished for 60 million years are now being slaughtered at the rate of 3 an hour to make pet food, fertilizer, margarine, and cosmetics. Russian, Japanese, and Norwegian whalers are bent on extracting the last yen and ruble from the great whales. These countries insist that they abide by the quotas of the International Whaling Commission, but Japan and Norway fail to mention that they also support unregulated whaling operations outside the commission that kill more than 5,000 whales a year. Must we wait until the greedy hunters fire their exploding harpoons into the last whale to realize our Earth has lost its largest and most magnificent creatures?
Absolutely.
Help. For more information, write to me, Jack Lord, care of Save the Whales, Box 3650, Washington, D.C., 20007.
This is Billy Taylor, inviting you to join me when Jazz Alive visits Detroit to hear organist Shirley Scott's trio. We'll also travel to Philadelphia for performances by saxophonist Sonny Fortune's quartet. the music of Mr. Magic himself, Grover Washington Jr., when he's joined by Pieces of a Dream. Grover Washington Jr., Pieces of a Dream, Sonny Fortune and Shirley Scott. Jazz with Soul on NPR's Jazz Alive.
And you can hear that Jazz Alive later on today, about 10 p.m., as part of USB's Radio Free Weekend.
There will soon be an end to this cold and wicked war, when those hard-headed communists get what they're looking for.
My navigator had me perfectly lined up with the target. When I cut in with my sight, I could clearly see the city of Hiroshima in my bomb sight.
Having found the atomic bomb, we have used it. We shall continue to use it.
Family down on a picnic, and they always know how to do the right thing when the flash happens.
Everybody's worried, yeah, about the atomic bomb. But nobody's worried, no, about the day my Lord will come.
The Atomic Cafe, now through Sunday, August 8th. New Community Cinema, 423 Park Avenue, Huntington. The Atomic Cafe. See it.
Thank you, and yes, it is playing. Exclusive Long Island showing of the acclaimed documentary, now through Sunday, at the New Community Cinema, a nonprofit organization. I believe shows are at 8 and 10 p.m., don't quote me on that. I'm not certain. That's when I saw it. Good film. I want to reiterate that, Mike. Really good film. Painted quite a vivid picture of just the whole insanity of everything. Yeah. And so we come to the end of another voice.
Of Long Island.
I'm going to shake the bottle one more time and see if I can make that noise. I did it again. I think your mic has to be on, though, for me to do it.
Well, turn mine off.
Nope, I guess not. Hello. Okay. Sorry about that. Would you like to do it one last time?
You're a crazy boy.
Yeah. Hello. Stop that. Stop. Okay. All right, Mike. We like making silly noises on the air. We could be a lot sillier, but we're not going to be now, because I'm leaving for 2 weeks. You're going to be here next week, and we want people to tune in again.
Well, you're going to give me a call from the wilds of Virginia.
Well, right? You know, I'm not really sure if I have to be up early the next morning. I can't give you a call. Maybe I'll call you up earlier. You can tape something. But
a taped actuality.
Yeah, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'll be here in some form. Whoops, that's the wrong thing. I didn't want to play that yet. I want to play this. Our theme.
Yeah, and if I had headphones on, I'd hear it.
Mike lost his headphones.
No, I didn't lose them. They're left in the other studio.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I figured I'd go in the other studio to read the news tonight, because I'd be far away from your funny faces that you always make.
I make funny faces?
Instead, I got funny sounds.
You started it, Mike.
What do you mean, I started it?
You started it.
Oh.
So what will you be doing in the coming week?
Well, over the weekend, I will be going to the beach.
Uh-huh. Again.
That's predictable. And I'll be going, I'll most likely be going to that traditional thing tomorrow night over in Southold, like I mentioned before. And, of course, I got a show on Thursday night. And who knows? I have a feeling I'm going to have a hard week at work in front of me, because yesterday, just before I went home, Thursday night, that is, the most terrible things, absolutely terrible
Uh-oh.
Things happened.
Uh-oh.
And if I thought that was bad...
Well, what terrible things?
The projects I was working on just kind of, like...
Collapsed.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they collapsed even further today, different projects.
Oh, that's too bad.
So the things are just piling all over the place. So I'm probably going to have to make good on those, so...
Well, that's too bad, so you won't really be enjoying yourself at all this week.
Well, it's lots of hard work, and there's nothing wrong with hard work, but just give me plenty of free time for play. Yeah.
That sounds reasonable enough.
And you're taking off Tuesday, huh?
Yeah, literally taking off Tuesday.
Are you going to send us a postcard or what?
Yes, my plane lands, I'll definitely send you a postcard.
Oh, hey, what goes up must come down in one form or another.
Mike, you're such a comfort, yeah. I'm sure it will come down in some form. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait. First time up in a plane, yeah, okay, I can dig it.
Have you ever...
What was the first time you were up in a plane? Describe that experience.
How old were you? The first time, it was only a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you must know what I'm going through.
Well, actually, it was different for me because instead of getting on a commercial airliner, I got in one of those little pipsqueak jobs that rode out of the Koh Ram airport.
Uh-huh. I'd be even more frightened doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was kind of neat, though. You know, down this dirt strip.
Who did you? Did you go up with a friend of yours or something?
No, somebody who's, you know...
Somebody you didn't like?
Somebody I never met. Who turned out to be an older woman, in fact. Like,
What possessed you to go up with a person you never met before, an older woman pilot?
$5. She gave me a tour around.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, it might have been 10.
What did you see?
Oh, we flew over Port Jeff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we did a couple of loop-de-loops. Which you'll probably do when you're landing.
Passed over Stony Brook?
Yeah, we
heard about loop-de-loops. I keep thinking of that episode of The Odd Couple.
Which one is that?
Where Felix is flying in an airplane for the first time.
Oh, I never seen that one.
Yeah, and all the passengers jump out. Because it's a skydiving class, and the pilot decides to show the two remaining passengers, Oscar and Felix, his loop-de-loops. And you see a plane going in circles and... You know, turning over.
That's what they usually do on their first approaches.
For a $19 flight, I don't think I'm going to get loop-de-loops. I hope not. I don't want any loop-de-loops.
Yeah.
I just want to go and land and wave goodbye and all that kind of thing.
And suppose you don't like the flight, how are you getting back?
Hopefully I'm going to get a ride back. That'd be nice if I got a ride back.
Yeah.
In a car.
Uh-huh.
Although people say cars are more dangerous. I don't know.
Hmm. Well, at least you're in control of your own destiny. Yeah.
You know, even if I'm in the passenger seat, I can leap over and grab the steering wheel and prevent an accident if I see one about to occur. I've done that.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Explain.
Well, people don't like me doing that. They say I get in the way when I do that, but yeah. I know better. Yeah, I know.
You did go to Stanley Fisher's offensive driving school, didn't you?
I've got my diploma hanging up on my wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, offensive driving, it's the only way.
That's true.
To learn to drive.
Of course, Stanley Fisher pops in every once in a while. He's one of our irregular sponsors.
Yeah, one of the many irregular things on this radio station.
Well, it's time to go. I'm Mike Uhas.
I'm Eric Corley, and, you'll be back next week for The Voice at 12 o'clock on
Saturday
morning.
And I'll be back Thursday night as well from 9 to 12.
Friday night, yeah. Well, you'll be back Thursday night?
Yeah.
You're not doing the traditional folk show this morning.
No. No, I was just filling in on an interim.
Who is doing the traditional folk show?
Steve Sanf.
Steve Sanfilippo has moved to Monday nights.
Yeah, and he may still well be on Thursdays.
I don't think so.
Oh.
But we'll have more on that later. Okay, I'll be back in 2 weeks.
We're losing all of our folkies. I mean, Bob Williams took off, or he shuffled off to Buffalo, and
Jerry Dalal is, sorry about that, he's leaving.
That's true.
So eventually.
I think, like, next week is going to be his last show.
That's something worth tuning into if that does happen, because Jerry has been doing a show on this station longer than this station has been on the air.
No.
I think so.
No, he was the first person to sign up on the radio station after it went FM.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty early.
Yeah.
It is tradition here.
Yeah.
Time for us to go.
Well, goodbye.
We'll be back next week. No, you'll be back next week. I'll be back 2 weeks.
On The Voice
of Long Island. Good night.
Bye. How to play the tense AM.